Hello again, Nana. How are you?
Hi, Payne. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And everyone else out there, hi. Welcome to our, I don't want to call it a recap. Welcome to our conversation about the Sex and the City revival called And Just Like That, episodes 1 and 2. Obviously, we're going to go in chronological order and we're going to start with episode 1, which was titled Hello, It's Me.
Hello, so, it's me.
So, I mean, we both had trepidation about this revival. Mm-hmm. And for me, I felt like some of my fears were realized and some of it weren't. But overall, I want to say, like, I'm not mad at this revival. Not mad at it at all. How did you feel?
I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I think I'm going to have to see a few more episodes. But I think it got better as it went along. I think a lot of my fears were immediately realized when I was just like, this is not what I flipping signed up for. I knew this was what they were going to do. I'm not interested in watching this kind of happen right now. But I do think as they settled in, it did get a bit better as the episode went along. So, I mean, I'm on the fence. I'm not giving up on it, obviously, but I feel like it may improve as it goes along. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, I'm not mad at it at all. I mean, we'll dive into the conversation. Let's say the episode starts with the three women, obviously, unless you're under a rock. Samantha is not going to make it here, but I was curious to see how they were going to handle it. Especially since the producers, I want to say lied. Let me use that adjective. Lied to us about no one dying in this revival. Not sure why they would say that. But if you've seen it, you know why I'm saying that. But it's like at first they're all gathered to, again, nothing's changed 20 years later. Because I don't know if it's lunch, if it's breakfast, if it's early dinner. I don't know what it was. But they gathered to eat. And the women sit down and we get close-ups. And, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Some of the fears that we're referring to was watching the women aged.
Listen. Yes. You know, I don't have a problem with people aging. I feel like aging is a blessing. I think a lot of people look even better as they age because there's nothing wrong with aging. I don't think people should be scared of it. But it's when people go overboard in trying to correct the aging process that they end up looking not great. And I'm sorry to do this to women. And maybe it was just a bit harsher for me because I watched this episode right after our regular episode, so it was literally like a stark contrast, and that's all I could stare at. I was just like, what is going on here? Holy, like, procedure after procedure, which I don't know if they didn't give it enough time to settle in some of them, but I was just like, oh no. For me, the most shocking was Kristen Davis, because I was just like, why did you do this to your beautiful face? I will say, I do think the person that aged the best was Chris North.
Wait, I want to ask this. When you say people procedure after procedure, besides Kristen Davis, who else do you think had work done?
I feel like Sarah Jessica Parker's had work done.
Her face, really?
Yeah. Not as drastic. Maybe it's better work than Kristen Davis, but not as drastic. I feel like she's had work done too. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think she had any work done because I think, listen, they tried to make my girl during the regular episode look bad, but I thought Miranda was the one who aged the best.
Yeah, she looked the best out of the three of them. No contest. Gray hair and all, she looked the best. Yeah.
And I thought Sarah Jessica Parker didn't quite age, but I didn't think that she'd had work done. I thought it was natural.
Her face
she looked natural too.
A little tweak to me. I could be wrong, but it did look a bit. But Kristen Davis has clearly had a lot of work done.
So I will say that Kristen Davis's face, yes, I was just like, what has she done to? Like, why? Because it's now odd. It's not at the right angles or the right latitude. So when she smiles, when she cries, which she did a lot of, it was just an odd thing. But I was kind of prepared because I did watch this reality show that she hosted, which was very weird. It was basically about a woman who missed her window and was looking for surrogate sperm, so to speak, a sperm donor.
I feel like hopefully you love. Mentioned the show before. Yes, I remember. Yeah. Now.
So in the first episode, they all had to give a sperm sample and they read out their sperm results right out everywhere. And she was hosting it. And I couldn't concentrate because I kept staring at Kristen Davis' face. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, what did you do? You are so cute.
Yeah, but I did find it distracting. I'm not even going to lie to you until I got used to it, but that's all I could keep. Yeah. But I will say, like, yeah, Big, I feel like his age the best out of all the characters. Yeah. And Stanford as well.
Yeah.
Really good. Rest in
peace. But I think, and I think, good on the show. I did like that the show immediately addressed it because they did their subtle references to it, and then Charlotte telling Miranda that she had to dye her hair for her class and all that. I mean, I was gonna say, oh, that's doing the most, but I thought that, you know, maybe it's realistic. We're not in that demographic yet, but you don't know what it feels like when, you know, you start graying and you want to dye your hair, you know. I don't know. And also, I couldn't tell the entire time if Miranda's hair was blonde or gray.
I think it was gray. But it was gray, but it still had like highlights and lowlights. So it'd clearly been dyed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it just kept, I guess, mostly the gray. I thought she looked really good though. The outfits weren't given for me, for Miranda especially. But I think she looked really good.
I like their outfits. I really did. Miranda's I was just kind of used to, but I really did like their outfits. I think I even made a note like, I liked it. I was trying to look up who styled because I knew Betsy didn't come. Oh, Patricia Fields, I think. Yeah. Didn't come back.
I didn't like Miranda's outfits in it. She had on those, you know, the very first scene where they're waiting to be seated.
Yeah, that one was.
I just feel like didn't look like she was going to the same place as the other two. So.
Yeah.
Nicole Ari Parker, I liked her style in it.
There was a necklace on there that I did not understand.
The chunky one. I liked it.
Just to give an update on what the ladies are doing now, we find out that Miranda is going back to class. She's still a lawyer, but she's trying to add, what was it again?
Like a human rights master's.
Human rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, something to elevate her degree. Carrie is trying to get into the podcast space. And is hosting with a character named Shay. I can't remember if she was non-binary.
I think she said she was non-binary. Yes.
Yeah, she's non-binary.
It was half Mexican, half Irish, non-binary, something, something. So again, Sex and the City has gone full work.
Yeah. So their name was Shay, and then there's a straight man also. So it's just a combination of it all. She's going into podcasting. And Charlotte is just being a focused mom, just as we expected her to be, and putting all her love in her children.
Yeah. Typical.
So that's
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just like, that's where the women are in their lives right now.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, like that they brought up the Samantha thing, because obviously that's what we're all wondering at the very top of the episode. I absolutely hated the excuse they provided for her absence. I'd rather they have just killed her off. I'm not even trying to lie to you. I don't buy that Samantha would apparently throw away all those years of friendship just because Carrie didn't want her to be her publicist anymore. Samantha has never been that kind of petty, ever. Did you buy it? What did you think of it?
No, I didn't. So for those who did not watch, the reason they gave for Samantha is Samantha moved to the UK and is not on good terms with Carrie anymore because Carrie, you know, she wrote a book and became a writer, but the business wasn't booming anymore. And we find that Samantha was her PR person and she dropped her as PR because books weren't selling. And she couldn't forgive her for that and then moved. I did not buy it because we have just recently said how Samantha is forgiving. Like, she's not irrational when it comes to stuff.
She doesn't hold grudges either.
Matter of fact, yeah, and she doesn't hold grudges. But even if she was going to beef her like that, what is her beef with the other two?
Thank you. And they keep mentioning how they've, like, been calling her and texting her and she's hasn't returned in. And I'm like, I don't buy this. I'm sorry. This is so unbelievable. And I just always feel like low-key, it seemed like kind of a dig at Kim Cattrall. Basically saying, well, we did everything we could to, like, reach out to her, but she wasn't interested. She basically, like, ghosted all of us. I do think it was slightly shady. I don't know how you felt with that. I felt like it was a dig at her.
I honestly didn't even think too much to it. I just felt like, regardless of what happened, other than a death, nothing was gonna, like, it's just the way they built it out, this four were supposed to be each other's soulmates. But exactly. I do think in some way that it is realistic that, you know, all these friendships, sometimes that you think friendships outgrow each other.
Yes.
So, you know, for one person to leave. So on one hand, if we sit and think about it, yeah, the Samantha we knew 20 years ago might not have done that. But Samantha in her 60s, we don't know. We don't know. She's been through breast cancer. She's been through that breakup. We don't know what could have caused anything. So that part I kind of thought was maybe realistic. Like, listen, I'm tired of your shit. I'm old.
I just feel like even if she didn't want to be friends, like she was upset with Carrie, what's the excuse of her cutting all three of them off? And then not even, okay, fine. If she decides, like you said, she's outgrowing their friendship, they don't all need to be friends anymore. So you're telling me she still wouldn't respond to a single message that they've been bombarding her with? I didn't buy it.
But, yeah. And then where they messed up was the part where Carrie was telling Miranda, like, oh, you know, have you spoken to her recently? Her answer should have been yes. I think it makes more sense if she's talking to them behind, the two of them are trying to protect Carrie from finding out that they're talking. But the one thing that made it so unreasonable, if this is assuming Samantha is still the bitch that she was 20 years ago, you would not send Samantha to the UK because of somebody else. She'll be damned if you run her out of her city.
That's what I'm saying.
Because of that. So, yeah, it was not the greatest, but we kind of just have to deal with it because we know she's not going to be there. So, it is what it
is. I just honestly wish they'd done something permanent or something, because it's the dumbest thing just ever heard. I was not buying it. Yeah. I have to say something that, another thing I should say, absolutely did not work for me when I was like, this is exactly why I thought a reboot was a bad idea, was the scene with Miranda and her black professor. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what I didn't want to see. Sex and the City dragged into this century and hitting every single quote-unquote woke talking point where she mistakenly thinks her black professor is a student. And then she comments on her hair and her braids. And it was just so awkward. And she kept talking. I'm like, this is exactly what you see with, like, white liberal feminism. I don't want to see that on Sex and the City. I was like, oh, this is exactly why I didn't want this revival. That's what I thought. Like, right, it did get better. But that was the thing I wasn't looking forward to. And it was immediately there in my face. What did you think?
Well, my question is, do you think that it was on brand for Miranda?
To be that awkward, I don't think so. Just because she's been working, Miranda's a highly intelligent person. I get it. But I don't think she's that much of a put her foot in her mouth person. Because it kept happening over and over and over and over and over again. I just feel like she would have learned maybe from the first instance and should learn to either shut up or just do better. But it kept happening. Like when she met her on the subway station platform. Or just like, oh, I just don't want to see this. What did you think was on brand for her?
No. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is, like, the one thing that hasn't changed is Miranda is going to be the scapegoat. Because 20 years ago, Miranda was ahead of her times. She was the one that was, you know, in the forefront of all these things and was ahead of and was aware of things. Mm-hmm. So to make her the fumbling white woman or maybe the Karen adjacent and it was just weird. I'm like, that's not that. If you gave me Charlotte, maybe Charlotte is in a bubble. I can understand that. But Miranda and then not knowing when to stop. She's a lawyer.
Thank you.
Yeah, it wasn't. So it was almost like being out of touch. But I said this, and Just Like That is not the only show, but writers just got to write for themselves. You cannot write for social media because you are not going to please anyone. And don't take away the fun and the joy of shows from us anymore because everyone is woke.
Yeah,
I understand they got a lot of criticism. They should never do a Friends revival because they're just going to... But I understand a lot of people...
Oh.
Yeah. And I understand that a lot of people gave them flack for being in New York and doing that. And I'm not complaining. I don't know that I even complained about the original because as we rewatch, of course, yes, there are secondary characters. You know, that's just what it was. But they did have some minority characters. But now
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm okay. It's kind of like how everyone says, oh, we should have a Black Bond. Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand certain things that, you know, you do that. Everything isn't organic anymore because what has happened is, and Just Like That has now tried to cram all the tropes and cover all the bases, and it's just not a free show anymore. So basically, each of them have a
POC friend,
minority character that has been attached to them. So Carrie has Shay, Charlotte has Lisa,
played by Nicole Laurie Parker,
and Miranda has, what's her name again, the professor's name,
what was her name Nia.
Sorry, guys.
You're right.
Naya. So she has that, and they're going to integrate them. On one hand, it's a smart way. I mean, what else are you going to do? I saw a criticism of it saying, like, oh, they're secondary characters. Like, what else are they going to be, guys? Like, relax.
This is their show. It's Carrie and her girls.
Yes, relax. Like, I think people watch things now to poke holes rather than actually just watching. And then if there's an actual critique, then you go ahead with it. So
I'm not interested in the interior lives or side characters when we're watching a limited series that is bringing back like an iconic season. Like, let's focus it on the main characters, please. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So, we follow Carrie with her podcast in an episode, and a lot of people have just caught up to what we've been saying. Carrie is a prude.
Do you know what's so funny? I literally wrote, I'm like, this is exactly what Tay, she's going to love this scene. That Carrie is still prudish and she still thinks she's cutesy. And no one is buying it because you are in your mid-50s and still doing this shit. Like, please, grow up.
I saw a bunch of like reviews where people were talking about, oh, like Carrie, the sex writer and the gender, and I'm like, yes, she's given us clues all along. She had a whole ass issue with bisexuality. She had a whole ass thing with a lot of things that were mentioned. So this is just shocking that at 55, or I think that's the age they were, this is what is going on. And Shay calls her out and tells her that she needs to step her pussy up. And that's a quote, by the way, that she needs to step her pussy up and she needs to come forth with it. And because the question was, has she ever masturbated in public? Listen, I don't care how liberated you are. What the fuck are you masturbating in public for? It's never that serious.
Some people live to shock. Yeah, but yeah, that was another... That whole podcast scene, I also thought went on too long. And again, just played into my fears about exactly the kind of show that this show was going to be now. And, before, like, we talk about other things, I did want to say what I didn't like. You know, I don't like to see COVID on our screens. It's like, can we just pretend it didn't happen because I'm watching TV as escapism? But I also wasn't happy that they mentioned it. But then you don't see any other signs of there having been a pandemic in the show. Do you know what I mean? Because they kept talking about it, But did you see a single person wearing a mask? Even background actors, nothing. So why bring it up at all? Why can't we just not pretend it didn't happen?
I liked it because they mentioned it, and the way they set it up was like, this was after COVID. Mm-hmm. They were in a world where COVID was gone, which is why Miranda kept saying things like, oh, remember the world where we couldn't do this? We had to stand 6 feet apart.
Uh-oh.
So the setup was that it was gone, done, and it was a thing of the past.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't see that. That makes sense.
But I appreciated it. So they addressed it, and then it's like, okay, we're done. Move on. I appreciate all the shows who are acting like it doesn't exist. Thank you.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's why. Was like they were talking.
I'll go outside if I want to see realism, okay? Thank you.
I don't know if you caught it. When we got a glimpse into Charlotte's life, Lily had a weird look when their second daughter came in. I don't know if I read too much into it, but when her daughter was being all, you know, when she came in from rollerblading or something with Harry, and she was trying to get her to do something, but Lily, the first daughter, had like a weird look, and I was like, is this going to be a storyline later? Like, are they leading us into something? But I wasn't sure if I was saw it.
I don't remember. She killed her piano recital, though. Go, Lily.
I think the whole scene when Carrie goes back home and asks Big if she masturbates, my first thought was, you've been married how long and we still have the same issues? We are not talking about, how are you married to someone you don't know if they masturbate? What are we doing?
I'm like, because at this point, it's been decades, hasn't it? At this point, you guys have been married how long? And yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I will say I love the apartment. It was ridiculously huge. Very nice.
Fantastic apartment.
Yeah. And also Carrie cooks now, which was a shock.
Was she cooking, though? Or was he telling her what to do?
No, but he made a comment that he she actually cooks now. It implied that she does cook sometimes.
Yeah.
Even though she was helping him with the cooking then, like him telling her what to do, but he did imply that she cooks, which I still find hard to believe because she was also in the kitchen in an all-white outfit.
That masturbation scene was very cringy.
Yes.
I was like, things I never want to see. Chris knows, Big, whoever. Like, it doesn't even seem in his nature.
Nope.
In his character. Big doesn't seem like a guy who masturbates, but okay.
No, I feel like Big does masturbate, but I don't think he would do it in front of Carrie.
Yeah, all I could think about was the fact that Sarah Jessica Parker took her son to the premiere, and I'm like, what do you do during this scene? Like, do you just cringe and go to the bathroom?
I'm cringe now. Her iconic, what she's most famous for is Sex and the City. So I'm sure you knew what to expect. So.
No, I know. But it's like, what do? The show you can avoid, you can fast forward. But when you're in the theater full of all people and with your dad and your mom and you watching
your mom. You do what you did when we were young and you're watching TV with your parents. You pretend.
Not the same. It's
very fascinating.
It's not your actual parent in there on the screen.
But I mean, what do you do, Tate?
I mean, that's my question. It's like, I just wondered what he did. I don't know. I wouldn't take him to the premiere, but hey, that's just me. I don't know if you noticed that the family dog for Charlotte was Richard Burton. And in the regular series, the dog was Elizabeth Taylor. So that was cute.
Oh, I don't remember that at all because I don't think I remember anything about Charlotte's storyline.
They had a recital, Lily, which is Charlotte's daughter, and you know Carrie was gonna miss it, but you know she begged her to stay and to go, and they were gonna go. She was gonna go with Big out of town, but they missed it, and we're gonna go later in the night or the next Friday. But I think it was a good scene to get all of the people together because then we got Stanford and Anthony, his husband, together, and we got to see them. And then
also, Lisa, I didn't know they got married, by the way. Like, I didn't.
Oh, yes.
So it's just
I think it was in the movie, I want to say.
I don't remember at all.
Yeah.
I've seen both movies. And I was like, these two ended up together? Okay.
I know. It's still really the weirdest thing.
I know. It was sad to see Willie Garson, though. And then now I'm also wondering how they're going to write him out of the series.
Not a spoiler, but a critic who's watched it said that it's going to be really bad.
Oh, I think I saw it was from Alan Sepinwall, right? I saw his review. Bitter. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, not looking forward to that, but no. Yeah.
And he looked fantastic as well. He really did. He aged really well.
Yeah. The reason why I mentioned that is because, for two reasons. The juxtaposition of what was happening in Carrie's home right as Lily was doing her recital. But I did want to mention that I was proud of them because at some point Anthony made a comment and called Lisa Black Charlotte. Yeah. I was very happy that they included that. I was like, please, we're not that woke. Like, it's funny. Just say it and let's not overthink it or whatever. So the writers decided to kill off Big.
Yep. I have issues as well because I just feel like, can we have either come in before or after? I don't understand. I'm like, why are you here to make us sad? I don't get it. So, because now this season's going to happen, I'm not going to buy anything to do with Carrie because she's going to be grieving. That's her husband of several years. So, are we just going to watch a grief process? Or are we going to pretend that a lot of time has passed and now Carrie's just moving along with her life, which I'm also not going to like? I don't understand why they would bring him back at all just to kill him off 20 minutes later.
So my guess is the latter. Like I said, I devoured a lot of content about this revival. And the producer said something like it was always a given. That was the only way they were going to do that. He was going to be killed off, which is partly why the reason why Samantha wasn't killed off. They couldn't have that much death. I mean, probably also why they couldn't kill off Stanford's character. That would just been a lot of death. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that it's going to be the latter where they're going to fast forward time, even though I'm not sure how possibly because they're already older.
Exactly.
But he made a point that I kind of think is true, that we forget that in the series, Big was in and out. He wasn't like a permanent fixture. He just showed up, rocked her world, and left, like the demon that he is.
So why did they give him for the writing, killing him off? They could have literally given him one line per episode. It'll probably been the same amount of filming for Chris Noyes if he wasn't that interested in being in it.
I'm getting there. They said that they killed him off because they wanted it to be just Carrie. Like, if he was in there, it would be surrounding their relationship and it wouldn't be her, you know, finding herself and with different people, because that's what it was when they were in their 30s and they kind of want to bring the series back to that. So it gives her the freedom, which is what makes me think that it would be the latter, that they might fast forward the years. So it gives her the freedom to find herself at that age with different people.
You're being real kind. Because
I'm not being kind. That's what he said.
No. I'm just saying, like, with that, what they're doing. Because I just wonder, what's the point then of the revival? If you want Carrie single.
I don't feel as badly as anyone, and I think I feel that way as most people do, and I think I feel that way because I didn't buy into the Big and Carrie fairy tale. But for people who think the Big and Carrie fairy tale and they should be together and all that, I can understand that this damages the whole thing. But if she's by herself again or whatever, hey.
You've picked up on these women who were in their 30s when we first met them. They're now in their mid-50s. And you're trying to take them back, well, the main character, back to where she was when she was in her 30s. It's not going to happen. Life has happened. Yeah. They've had children, marriages, deaths, I'm sure, illnesses, all of that. If you're going to bring it back, it can't be the same kind of Sex and the City when people were single and living it up in the city. Those days are long gone. which are part of me, then it's like you either show them as they are now, married, settled down, dealing with married, settled down, mid-50s stuff, instead of trying to be like dragging it into our times and being woke and still trying to make it fun, or just leave it alone.
Yeah, you're right. And to your point, they really could have just gone with a divorce and said they, their differences was too much and she finally got him out of her system. And that was it. So, yeah, it was probably for shock value, which is a cheap trope.
And also, I know there was like a theme or something as well. I don't know if you realize, like, you know, with the music in the background when he's working out on his Peloton and it just kept playing, like, you know, with the recital, the interspacing of that. I thought it went on too long as well. I wasn't a fan of that.
I mean, the storyline that we were giving, maybe not the best that he died, but I just think that it was done so well.
I just think the whole sequence.
Yes, the whole sequence. I mean, you could tell that they were setting up for something.
Yes.
Something was being set up, so you were just anticipating, waiting. I don't understand why she was still calling for a cab. Is there no Uber? But okay.
Guess the Ubers are different. I'm not saying it was bad, but I just felt like it went on too long. Because we literally got cut back and forth. Is this one? Is because we all knew something was going to happen because they telegraphed it, like him working out. I just thought it just went on a touch too long. They could have trimmed a few of the cutbacks.
So there was something about when she came in. I think this, I don't know if I were me, that would be what I would submit for the Emmys. But when she came in and she just screamed John, and you know how we're used to calling him Big? So her just actually, we know his name is John. A friend of mine was like, oh, I never knew his name was John, but I don't know if she finished the series. But her, the way she called out his name, the way she ran to him was, it was so good. The acting. Let me just put it that way.
The acting has never been a problem, right? And they're still very good at it. I agree with you. It was very, 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 very well done. But again,
a wrench to that I don't know if Kristen Davis forgot how to act.
Really?
I'm not mad at what she did this it's two things in this and episode one. I was like, either she forgot how to act or the quirky thing that she did worked because she was in her 30s, but now that you're older, it's not working.
Maybe it's because her face no longer moves. That could have been why.
No, I just thought she was so stiff, and not just her face. It wasn't hitting. And I was just like,
interesting.
And she's also the one who, besides Hallmark and stuff, I don't know if she's done as much work as the others. I mean, she's hosting a surrogacy show, so I don't know.
Okay, maybe I need to pay attention next time more.
But so, this is episode one.
Okay, I'll pay more attention to the next time. You know, I'm a bit touchy because I feel like more comedic actors and actresses don't get the credit that I think they're due. And I do think watching Sex and the City, I've always been struck by how good the acting is, which I don't think I fully appreciated the first time around, you know? Same thing with Friends as well. Every time I watch it, I'm like, these people can act, you know? But again, I don't know. Maybe I was just being a Grinch, but I did find it sad. I'm not even going to lie to you. I found it sad, but then I was like, why aren't you calling an ambulance? Part of me in my head.
Yeah, she could have. I felt like it was time because I'm like, how long was this man sitting on the floor with this heart attack and he was still there? But then, I mean, I guess the poetic side is that he waited for her to die, which I don't know is so poetic. In fact, it's traumatic.
I know.
Because I don't know.
I'm a sap.
So, I don't know. She could have done compressions. I know she tried to do mouth-to-mouth, but he had a heart issue, so maybe compressions might have worked. I don't know. And maybe she didn't call 911 because she just thought
he was gone already.
She just knew. But honestly, when she came in and screamed his name and he looked up, I'm like, is he dead? And he's just what?
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole scene kind of creeped me out. And I got to tell you, Nana, that thing, maybe it's the combination of we watched the Miranda episode where it was a funeral and a death, and then this one with a death. The whole thing just stuck with me for days. And this was my fear about the revival, guys. Again, I'm not knocking anyone for getting older or for anything, but all I could think about this whole episode was morbid. Just, you know, thinking about life, thinking about death and the cycle. It was very morbid and just, oh my God, this is what we have to look forward to.
Yeah, it really bummed me out. That's what I was saying from the, you know, like the ticking boxes with, oh, we have to have POC, we have to talk about this, we have to talk about COVID. I was really like, okay. And then the death, and I'm just like, guys, did you bring me here to bum me out? Like, where's the joy? Yeah, it left me feeling a bit. I'm there with
you. It was a lot, so we'll see. Did you have any thoughts on the
peloton? No, I know there's been like a whole load of drama about it, but I just think people are silly. But I will say, I didn't understand the choice of post-credit music after such a trauma. It was You've Got the Love.
Isn't that the theme song?
Right after he dies? There is no theme song.
I just thought it was their theme song, because I think that's what we played during the trailer.
I don't remember. There is, because I watched the credits, the only credit is like, and just like that shows up on the screen with that. You know that, I don't know what it's called. You know the end bit of the original theme music?
Yeah.
You know, dun, 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 it just has those notes and just like that. That's what happened on both episodes. There isn't like a post, an proper opening. Not like the original where she's walking down the street and sees herself on a bus.
Yeah. I just thought that song sounded familiar, and that was the song that that was the same song that they used for the trailer.
They may have used it, but that's not the theme song. They just played a really happy, famous dance song right after he died. I thought that was very odd, and I didn't understand.
Okay. I'm going to look it up, though, because...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was immediately what happened. We can segue into episode 2, because we got a 1 and 2 premiere.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is Steve, like, deaf, or is it a joke?
He's I guess partially deaf, because she said 60% in one ear, 40% in the other. Steve seemed very odd. I don't know what they were going for.
Do you think it's harder for us because we're watching them currently?
Yes.
Versus if we just hadn't at all, and
yes,
it wouldn't be this jarring. Because
100%. I feel like I would feel very, very different about And Just Like That if I wasn't also very closely watching the original series, because we're watching it in deep detail. Yeah. Like, even I can't say, I've already forgotten her name. That friend that at the funeral when she comes up.
Oh, Susan Sharon.
Susan Sharon, thank you. And I was just like, why is she here? Was she that an important part? Because she was way back in season 1, 2? 2. And it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm just like, why is this a callback? I didn't get it. But I do think, I can't speak for you, but I know 100% I'm more critical because I am watching the current season very closely as well.
Probably, so there are a lot of
things that just don't make sense to me.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm a fan of Steve, but I probably wouldn't have remembered in detail, because I've always said, I think the last time we talked about Steve, when he was opening the bar, that I said Steve seemed a little off, that he was childlike.
Yes.
And because I remember that, it translates to And Just Like That, because he was a little off, but instead of childlike, he seemed
slow.
You know how it is when an older person is really old and like, not an invalid, but it's just like a functioning invalid. I don't know. That's why I said, is it a joke? But I guess he was actually like deaf. He just seemed to, like, he aged in all ways, not physically or whatever, but just like in mind and in actions. Like, he just seems like, I'm tired. Like, leave me even alone.
The way he
like,
was speaking was markedly slower yes. than I used to. Yeah. I didn't
understand. It was a little, put me in a home. Now I'm tired of doing the daily things of life. I don't know. It was just something a little off about it. But
I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to accidentally conflate, like, maybe the actual actor's issues with the characters. I don't know what's going on, but it did seem a bit weird. I don't know what was going on there, you know?
I even Googled, because I Googled just to make sure, like, you know, we don't speak out of turn or anything, if anything was going on with him. But I mean, I didn't see anything. But again, we're not saying it in a mean way. It was just like an observation.
Yeah.
But moving on to, I don't care how cool you are, you do not need to hear your kid having sex.
No.
Like, what the hell?
Your 17-year-old kid having sex very enthusiastically in your house with his girlfriend. I don't know.
Put the white girl on top of it. So.
Oh, you're not serious. You are not a serious person. I will say I actually enjoyed the second episode better than the first one, though. I thought it was an improvement.
I mean, I feel like everything would have been better than
awful or unwatchable. I'm very aware that I'm being more critical, I think, than most people, again, because of the circumstances of our watch. But I feel like I was less annoyed with the second episode than the first one.
The reason why I say, like, I feel like anything would have been better than the first is, like, first episodes and pilots are usually hard because you just have to regroup. You have to get used to everything. Uh-huh. You're trying to pack a lot of information and get everyone up to speed, settled, so it lays the ground. So mm-hmm. I usually just give grace for pilots. That's why I'm like, anything would have been better than the first. And then with the first, it just ended with like a, oof, okay, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I just think that I don't care how bad Samantha is. There's no way she wouldn't come out.
Thank you. Or even call her, Tay.
Yeah.
She didn't even call her. She just sent flowers. Really? Yeah. Really? I've done more for people I don't even like. Do you know what I mean? Like, impossible. Yeah. Impossible. Yeah. And I will say, I actually felt the show is really missing Samantha for me. Really, really missing. I feel like without Samantha, the comedy's missing. I felt like, and obviously, there's nothing to laugh about. Her husband just died. But I just feel like you could always rely on Samantha to provide the comedy. The heart of the comedy. I feel the show is really, really, really missing Samantha.
I understand, but honestly, I think it's too soon. We don't know. There's no place to put the comedy yet. There's just been a death. Episode 2 was a funeral. So I think it's too soon. And, you know, from what I read, it's going to be lighter in future episodes, so we'll see. But I think it's too soon. But I gotta tell you, I know everyone's saying they miss Samantha. I fully expected to miss Samantha. But if I'm being honestly objective, besides the fact that the reason they gave was lame, I don't know that I do, because I don't see this as a Sex and the City show. It just cannot be a Sex and the City show. It's a completely different show. She just happens not to be on there, because even if Samantha was here, her antiques that she was in those days is not going to be the same in her 60s. It's just not. So I don't know that I miss her yet. Further down the line, when the storyline opens up, we'll see. But for now, I don't. So, and I never looked for Sex and the City for the ha-ha-has. Samantha gave those, but I'm finding it now in the rewatch in pockets. But it's just never been a ha-ha-ha show for me. So that's not the show I look to for comedy. So.
Yeah. When I say, I'm still missing it. I feel, we just disagree. That's all it is.
But I don't think Charlotte has grown or changed, because somehow, guys, Charlotte made this loss about her.
Yes.
About her.
Irritating.
She just stopped crying.
And she went overboard with it. And I get it. Like, obviously, when people do pass away, there's so many what ifs. And I actually fully understand why she would feel like she was partly at fault. because she kept Carrie from her husband. And maybe she was there. But that's what you do, isn't it? You play that game of what if, what if, what if. I think it's natural. But the sobbing, I could even understand it, like, the first time when they're looking for, like, funeral homes. But it happens again. Like, when she shows up at the house. So I'm just like, hey, this actually isn't about you at all. Even if you do feel that way, go cry in your house to your husband. But at least try to be strong in front of Carrie. Because now you're sucking all the air out of the room. And it's not really... I didn't think it was fair to Carrie at all. Yeah. And now you also put her in a position of comforting you, you know?
Yeah. And let's talk about the house. Because I really liked that scene. I really liked how they handled that. Where Miranda and Stanford are who Carrie called just to chill. And this is... I know we're going forward. This is after the funeral. Where she's just chilling.
We're assuming people have watched it, right?
Yeah. And then Charlotte, Carrie tells Stanford to go hide because he doesn't want Charlotte to make this a whole thing. Like, I just saw you and all that kind of stuff. So she's telling her, she's going to tell her, like, I'm not in the mood, just go away. But of course, Stanford decides that he needs to come get his martini. And of course, she sees him. And of course, she does do what Carrie says and makes it a whole big deal about why is it him? Why is it that? And I just thought it was realistic, and I just kind of liked how they hashed it out. And all that stuff, but I'm not going to lie, Nana. Like, if I was Carrie, I would blame Charlotte. Nobody says that grief has to be rational. I would blame Charlotte. Not going to lie.
Interesting. I don't know. I guess it's very easy to say, I would do this, I would do that, but you wouldn't know till you're in the moment. I'm trying to think if I was in that position. Yeah, I mean, I may be a little bit mad, but I feel like Carrie was saying she's mad at herself too, because Charlotte didn't force her. Do you know what I mean? And Big also agreed that it was fine for her to go. But you do, you're right, grief isn't rational, and you do end up playing the game of what if. Like, what if I'd gotten the first cab that she flagged down and that didn't stop? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could she have made it back in time to call an ambulance and have it? Do you know what I mean? You do play that game. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe she would be mad at her. You're right. Who knows?
Yeah. It didn't make sense. I mean, we've always known that Big had heart problems. They've mentioned it every now and then. And even during that weird masturbation scene, when he was reaching for the lube, she was like, oh, I thought you were getting your nitroglycerine or something like that, alluding to that or whatever. So, I mean, nobody knows. It could have been at the where were they going? The beach? Of the Hamptons?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could have been there, and Carrie could have gone shopping, and he could have been in the house, and he could have been alone. Naturally, like, if it's your time, it's your time. Exactly. But the human brain always likes to assign blame to somebody, and I just sort of just give it to Charlotte at the moment. And when I'm ready, I'll say sorry. But but that's just, you know, what it could have been. And I don't know if it was just me, but it just seems like Stanford is being set up to be an asshole.
Yeah, I didn't like some of his interactions with him and his husband, because I'm just like, I don't know if it reminds you of the Stanford I know from the old season, I should say. I'm like, I know he could be, I don't remember him being that callous.
He wasn't.
Do you know what I mean? Hey, maybe life has hardened him. Who knows what's happened in the 20 or so years. Maybe the pandemic, all of that, we're all shells of ourselves. Who knows?
It was just, it was just weird. Everyone's just being, like, weird because Stanford, in all of the things, everyone knows that the three girls were her quote-unquote soulmates, her people. Mm-hmm. He's never made a big deal about the whole best friend thing. But then all of a sudden, you know, the way he spoke to the big secretary, assistant. I don't know.
She's the secretary.
Okay, big secretary, and, you know, getting her out the seat. Like, I'm surprised that even Anthony was the one saying, you can have my seat, because he's an asshole. Yeah. So for you to look like an asshole beside Anthony, you're a real asshole. And he makes that comment about how, oh, I have to hold the hand of the side of my best friend, because we just look. He's never done that in the regular series. Why are we doing that now? Like, the older you get, the more, quote unquote, wisdom you're supposed to get. So what is this petty bullshit? Like, I don't know.
And also, I was very surprised by how many people around Carrie were making things about them when the focus should be on Carrie. I feel like, as usual, Miranda was fantastic. She did all the things that you're supposed to do. But other people, yeah. I'm like, you guys can't stop your petty little bullshits. Like, your friend literally lost her husband. None of this matters. none of this matters. You know?
It goes to what we just discussed recently with season 4. How do we have a whole ass funeral and Carrie still has no family?
Yep. Nothing. Even Big has a brother. Yeah. That's so dumb. I will say, obviously, horrible because it's a funeral, but I did love the aesthetics. I'm not going to lie. And Carrie looked phenomenal. Phenomenal as well. Yes. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And she looked great as well. Like, she looked fantastic. The aesthetics, everything. Loved it. And I do think that hit really well because Carrie, we also know she's been a risky fashion person. Some hit, some don't, in my opinion. But you can see, like, a mid-50s Carrie. She knows exactly what she likes. She's very secure in her style and her aesthetics and how she likes to be portrayed. And I love that they put that in of exactly how she wanted the funeral to look and how she knows what Big would have liked, even down to how she dressed. I really like that touch. I thought that was really well done. So,
yeah. Are you surprised at Carrie's reaction to everything going on? Because I love it. Her being stoic, I don't know that I expected surprised.
I don't think I'm surprised. Grief is a very funny thing. It's a very strange thing. She probably doesn't even feel like fully in her body. Like, it's like, you can't believe this is happening. So you look for ways to just get through it. Do you know what I mean? You have stuff to do. It's usually after the funeral when people have gone and you're left to sit with your feelings. You're in your house by yourself. Do you know what I mean? That's probably when it's going to be the hardest. But I do think it's realistic how they portrayed it.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that during the funeral, when the whole... What is it called? I called it a life screen, but it's like, this is your life, when they were playing the song and his life and all that kind of stuff. When Susan Sharon said, am I the only one that remembers what a prick he was to her? I hollered. Hollered so loud out to my TV. I'm like, yes. But I also get it. They settled. They got to a good place. God rest big soul. But yes, Susan Sharon, you are not the only one.
My thing is, Susan Sharon, she basically told us she hasn't seen Carrie for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So how will she know what their relationship is like now?
but all she knows is that she remembers what a prick he was.
Yes. Which is fair. No, which is 100% fair. But she also has no idea of what their... And honestly, I have no idea of what their relationship is like now. You know what I mean? We only got one scene, which was a nice scene. They seem clearly to have mutual affection and respect for each other. But we have no idea if they've had a good marriage in the 20 years they've been gone. Or if he's still been Big, you know?
Exactly. Because honestly, Big was a motherfucker. And it's just hard for me to believe that that changed. So we don't know if he's still not a motherfucker. So
I have no idea. And no Sex and the City, we're probably not gonna know, quite frankly. I will say, I know I feel bad because I have been a negative Nancy, but like I said, I enjoyed the second episode way more than lots of stuff I like. I still absolutely hate Miranda's storyline with her professor in this. I just want it gone. I don't like it.
I don't even know where they're going to go with it because she's acting like a stalker slash fangirl. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird. Miranda, of all people.
Yeah, they're doing it to do certain storylines to try and make it all current. I think that's what they're doing. Like, we're so scared of saying the wrong things these days. Let me not forget that people... Like, even I was paying attention, like the professor... Naya, she had like a Black Lives Matter badge on her backpack, and I was just like, oh, I see what you people are doing, but I don't want to see it because you're not doing it well. That's what I'm thinking. I just want it gone. It's like, she deserves a break, but but I did far enjoy the second episode better than the first, so
I hope they play it out, especially with Naya, because I do see that Naya you know, having that conversation with her husband about IVF. Mm-hmm. So curious to see where that goes. Like, even with the secondary characters, because even with Lisa, I gotta tell you, like, in episode one, that was my favorite moment. The kid, their kid sucking, like, just not knowing what was happening. Mm-hmm. The two of them
sharing. I'm torn on it, though. I'm taunting. Because there's a part of me that is nice that they're trying to flesh out these secondary characters. But then there's also a part of me that this isn't about them. Why am I even getting any POVs? Like, why do I know that much? Like, with Lisa, I know that she's got a difficult relationship with her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I mean, I feel like it'd be nice if it was a regular, but this is a limited series. Just like, can we focus on the main...
I understand that. Like, you make a good point, because we say it all the time. Like, even in the regular series, it was just about them.
Yeah.
And they kept everyone in the minimal. But I think seeing how it relates to the main characters, just seeing if it intersects more. Because for me, I don't know if it was just me, I felt like Miranda and Shay had sexual tension.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
I thought so, but maybe it was just me, so I don't know. But
we'll see. Maybe something will happen.
Yeah, Shay gave me very strong Rosie O'Donnell vibes. Just me, because I recently watched Rosie O'Donnell on The L Word, the revamp, and another revamp. But
interesting.
Yeah, but that is really good. Actually, there was a huge difference between season one and two, but that's good. But I do want to say that I am embarrassed that it took me this long. In the middle of something, I was like, oh my God, holy shit, Miranda is an alcoholic. I did not get that.
Do you think that's... Do you know what? You just saying that, literally, I just thought about that. And I was like, oh, that's a bit harsh. Just because she wants a drink, like, people are dying. I was like, but no, she was drinking at the recital as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they're laying down breadcrumbs. Let's keep an eye on that.
Yeah, she got a Chablis 11 o'clock before her class. And then she says, oh no, I'm with Steve. He brought all the alcohol. Just give me this. And she had to drink the entire time. And then halfway through, I was like, holy shit, they're still punishing Miranda. She doesn't have enough on her plate.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to keep an eye on that. That's definitely something to watch. Huh? Interesting. Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to see where they'll go. The first episode I was not optimistic, but I do think it improved in the second episode, so I'm gonna try and keep an open mind. I just wish they'd lay off the hitting on all the social justice points of today. I'm here for escapism, okay? And honestly, I know I've complained. I wouldn't mind if things like that were included, but if it was organic, but it just is never organic. And I think I'm especially sensitive about it because I feel like every show I've watched in the last few months has been like that. Same, I was watching Harlem as well. I'm like, why does everything sound like a speech? I'm tired of characters speechifying. Can we just be entertained and keep it pushing? Again, if I want to learn, I could put on the news or just go outside. Life is difficult enough, okay? I'm here for vibes and enjoyment, please. But it is what it is. Did you have anything else to add?
No, that was it. I mean, I'm sold. I'm in. I don't know. Is it 10? It's 10 episodes, I believe.
Okay. So we have eight more.
Yeah, I think so. And it comes out, for those of you who haven't watched, every Thursday.
Yes. It's on HBO Max. So, yeah. If you have that. Actually, HBO ain't paying me. Forget where it's on. You'll find out where it's on. They'll tell you how to find out. But, yeah, that was episode one and two of And Just Like That. So, we'll be back next time with episode three. And yes, don't forget once again to subscribe if you can wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, give us a 5-star rating, and that way you can stay abreast of any new episodes that we have coming out. And once again, Tang, can you tell the people where they can find us?
You can find us at The Rewatch Times 2, therewatch2. That's our handle on Instagram, Twitter, and for email, just add @gmail.com.
Yes, so we'll see you next time, guys. Bye. Bye.